So, Rich, how can my real estate photography business grow and stay on the cutting edge?
I'm glad you brought that up, Brian. By including HDPhotoHub.com, you just upload your photos and your clients will get a property website, social media flyers, and videos all automatically.
Wow, that seems pretty easy. What do I do to get started?
It is easy, and all you have to do is register today at hdphotohub.com. And if you're using the referral code SHOOTINGSPACES, you get your first property marketing kit absolutely free.
Free?
Yeah, free. HD Photo Hub is where great photos become a powerful marketing kit. Again, that's hdphotohub.com.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Discussions on gear, technique, industry news, and interviews with the best in the business. Now, here are your hosts, Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces. This is Brian from New York.
And Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And we want to thank you for tuning in to another fantastic episode. And Rich, you have the bright colors. You look like, you know, summer in California. You're fitting the part.
It went from winter to summer, baby, and we're up to 90s. And I didn't have time to catch my breath. There's no in between here, and it's just hot. That's it. But yeah. I'm wearing my for those of you out there that know what Ren Spooner is, reverse print Hawaiian shirts. It's the real deal. I've got my Ren Spooner Hawaiian shirt on. So, yeah, howly, hello.
Yeah, exactly. No, we had some nice weather, too. We had 75 yesterday. I even clocked up to 79 when I got out of my shoots yesterday. And we had about 73 today. So,
And you had quite a few shoots yesterday. You were,
three shoots yesterday and three shoots the day before. And I know people are just laughing at me and saying,
your shoots are not, it's not apples to apples though.
It's not. I did video and I did photo and a bunch of stuff. So it was
drone.
So they were all time consuming shoots. There were, you know, 8-9 hour days. But like I said, I shouldn't really complain because there are people here that shoot five days a week. So I guess I shouldn't complain with my six and 2 days, but I took today off, so it wasn't so bad. Hung out with the family.
Perfect. Perfect. Right. Yeah. And I am just getting ready for really busy tomorrow and Friday. And I have my first wedding on Monday, a Monday wedding. What the heck's up with that? So I got to drive an hour and a half to go do a wedding on Monday. And then I got my my workshop sold out. So I got that coming up in May.
That's awesome. And, congratulations.
I'm very, very happy. And get to play around with some really cool people and go have a good time. So stoked. Really
awesome.
Excited. That's what we say in California. Stoked.
Stoked. Yeah. All right, cool. So there's a couple of things I want to talk about before we get to our episode. Number one is for people that are interested in getting their Part 107 drone license. So obviously everyone knows I'm a drone pilot. I have my Part 107, but I just recently started talking to a company called Drone Launch Academy, who offers teaching courses, video courses for people who are studying for their Part 107 test. And I was telling them about the podcast and asked them if they can offer our listeners anything. And they were kind enough to give our listeners $50 off the course. And I think the course only costs $200. So it's about 25% off, which is a pretty sweet deal. So they're extending this offer to all our listeners. If you're interested in taking a Part 107 study course. And what they were telling me, the good thing about this course is it never expires. So you'll have this course forever. They're in the process of launching a recurrent course for people who have to take the renewal. I just took mine last month. If you have to take the renewal course after 2 years, you don't have to know as much information. So they're going to have a renewal course. They didn't tell me an exact date, but I would imagine before the end of this year, they're going to have that available. But even if you need to take the renewal course, I'm sure you can still watch the original and it's going to cover everything, obviously. So if anyone's interested in the Part 107 course, go to dronelaunchacademy.com/shootingspaces and you will get $50 off your order to the course. So I figured I'd mention that. They were nice enough to share that with us and I figured we'd extend that out to everybody else.
Awesome. Awesome.
So there you go, Rich. When you're ready to study for your Part 107, you know who to go to.
I'm gonna do it. But I'm pretty happy hiring my friends to do it. So I'm okay.
Hey, with
it.
Whatever works. The other thing we were speaking about, Rich, is because a lot of people are posting their images on Instagram lately and been tagging us. And we appreciate it and we get the work. We get to see their work because they've been tagging Shooting Spaces on Instagram. But we figured, hey, if a bunch of these people are tagging us on their images, why not start sharing those posts? So we figured, hey, you know, we're out there to try to help you get better. So if you're posting your images to Instagram, either tag us in your comment or tag us on the image and or use hashtag Shooting Spaces, any one of the three ways you can do it. And we will start sharing with our viewers some of your work so people can see other work out there. See people that are just starting out, see people that are advanced. And, you know, Rich, I don't have to tell you, it's always inspiration when you see other people's work, and whether it's composition or lighting styles or whatever it is, it always inspires you to do better and get better. So we figured we'd try it. So if you have some images you're posting, I know I post daily. If you're posting some images, just tag hashtag Shooting Spaces or tag us in the image or tag us in the comment, put our handle Shooting Spaces, and we'll try to reshare that post for everyone to see.
Awesome. Awesome. And I'm going to be asking somebody in the future to come on, and we're going to do more social media podcasts, because that's something that is really a nice topic right now, and something that we can all use. I think that, you know, we Instagram has been great for me. I have some firsthand experience with getting a little bit of work off of Instagram, and that's been great. I really enjoy doing it.
So. Yeah. And Rich, we have our webinar, our first webinar in 2 days.
Awesome. I'm so excited.
Sold out. Our first webinar is sold out. How crazy is that?
I'm very pleased. And it just shows that I'm going to be, it's very interesting to see if it's just the topic, demystifying twilight photography, but we'll see. And it's the beginning of a great thing and a new idea of ways to further help people get better and learn and instruct and things like that. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to learning both of your methods. You know, my method is very similar to yours for the very few twilights that I do, but I'm looking forward to definitely learning your method and obviously Matthew's more advanced technique. So, you know, if you missed out on this webinar, we definitely apologize, but there will be more in the future, 100%. So just, you know, remember, if you want to attend any of our future webinars, don't wait for the last minute and register early, because they, you know, this one sold out a couple days before. So.
And I'm really excited to see Matthew's workflow, because I used to do a bit of light painting, and I haven't for a while because I didn't have a great workflow. And I'm looking forward to seeing that. So it's going to be a lot of fun to compare the two.
All right, cool.
Something for everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what we got going on today?
We have an Ask the Guys from our good old buddy, and even more so your good old buddy, Peter Lyons, who we've had on before on the show. And I know you speak to him, you said almost daily, and I know he's out in your area. So he sent us a question. He was nice enough, and he said it, and he listens to every episode. So let me go ahead and play that for you now.
Hey guys, this is Peter Lyons from the San Francisco Bay Area. My website is peterlyonsphoto.com. The two of you are totally tearing it up with this podcast. I never miss an episode. Thanks so much for the hard work you're both investing to bring it to us. My question for you today is regarding before shoots. Sometimes I'll be contacted by a client who wants a relatively quick and dirty and cheap shoot of a location that they can use later to contrast it with how it will look after remodeling and renovation. It's a perfectly reasonable request, but I don't really have an established product or workflow for this, so I wing it. I break from my multiple speed light process, shoot fast and all ambient, cut them a break on cost, but then since I don't normally shoot all ambient, I don't have a post-production workflow for it either, so I wound up spending more time in post trying to fix the all ambient shots and deliver work that I don't really want to call mine, and I wonder whether my client would have done just as well to shoot it on their phone. So help me out, guys. How can I approach these shoots better?
Wow.
That was a handful.
That's a unique one, I'll tell you. Leave it to Peter. By the way, Peter, if you haven't seen Peter's work, go check out Peter Lyons' work. He's one of the good old boys, and he's been doing this a long time, and he is he's just one of the tops. And so not only that, but he's a great guy, and he also wears Hawaiian shirts. So Okay.
So Rich, have you shot any before shots for builders or been asked this before?
I've done one. And I will lend my experience.
So
you've done zero. So
I don't know if this asks the guys if we're going to be able to answer it as well as we should, but I can definitely give you my opinion, but you definitely have a leg up on me having done one before. So
I just wish, God, I feel like leaving. Can we leave the images in our show notes? I'd love people to see this. It was freaking bizarre. No, the before and the after images. Oh, okay. I'm more concerned with the before images.
Okay. Yeah, send me some. We'll put them in the show notes.
Let's see if we can do it, because you got to see this. Okay. I used to shoot for a guy, and I don't shoot for him anymore. Great guy. But for whatever reason, I just think he went on another path. And he used to do some flips, and they were doing very successful flips. And it was really interesting because all the flips were the same sinks and refrigerators and tile. They had a formula and it was great. But I used to shoot a lot of their stuff after they did it. So one day they called me and they said, "Hey, we got something really different. I don't know if you're going to want to do it or I don't know how you're going to do it, but come on over, check this out. We want you to shoot it before, and then we want you to come back in 3 months or 4 months and shoot it after." And that's the scenario. So I went to go check out the before flip, and let's just say it looked like Hiroshima. It was bags of garbage. It was broken walls. It was just disgusting. And it was just, it was so icky and awful. And it was almost like, you know, you want to say, I can't do this. But he was a good client. And he said, you know, this is something different. So I said, okay, I'll try it. Now, I shot it, but I don't want to say I shot it differently. I shot, and that's kind of what I'm leading up to, Peter. I shot it basically the same way I would shoot, where I could maybe get my tripod in between the bags of garbage. But I kept in mind the angles. I actually made notes on the angles in my mind. I shot certain angles that I knew I'd come back. And even though they were going to knock down some walls and do some different things, it was important to be able to see the similar thing. You could see that, because sometimes when you do before and after, it doesn't look like the same house. Anyway, I shot it probably with one more of a light on the stick, because I didn't want to really go out there and put a light out there. It was pretty bad. But I shot normal way. I shot flambient and, give it my all. And then I came back 3 or 4 or 5 months later and shot it again. And it was a very interesting experience. And when I shot it, I didn't shoot it really any differently. I shot all the same angles. And I guess what I'm getting to, Peter, is I don't think you need to shoot it differently. I think that you should not try to make it look like make it look like an inferior photographer. I think that you should make, because I've always been extremely strong on never post photos in groups from other photographers trying to say, you know, oh, look at this garbage and how this is wrong and this is right. You know, I'd be doing this and that. Never put yourself down, never put yourself above, you know, try and keep it a level playing field. So I would say just go out and shoot the way you would shoot. But remember, like I did, I would say keep the ideas of, and you could actually ask the guy, or ask the owner of the house, are you going to be tearing down walls? Just any ideas you can get. But I don't really think, because I know when you change up your shooting style, it takes longer than it would normally take. I mean, you could actually hire a mediocre photographer. But again, I just think that it's something that you could do and you would see enough difference. I don't think you need to shoot it poorly. I just think that the client or potential buyer can see the difference and see the value in the remodel. So that's my 2 cents worth. I don't think you have to change your shooting style or anything. I think you just shoot it one way and then you go back in when it's remodeled and you shoot it the other way.
And in that sense, the workflow would be the same. But I think he was asking, I have to go back and re-listen, but asking about, do you charge any less or something because it's a before shoot? And you're saying, you know, charge the same, your fees are your fees, and do it the same. And have the work look professional. And if there's garbage there, there's garbage there. It'll only make their after image look better at the end of the day. So go out and just tackle it the same and don't do any different.
You know, to me, a lot of the part about charging on shoots is just to get me there. I remember when I started to shoot weddings, I talked to a very successful wedding photographer and I said, well, what do you charge? And he basically goes, I don't get out of bed for under $1,200, $2,000 or something like that. So I just think that, you know, you got to charge the same amount of money. You're not going to, you know, you can't. And if they want to pay you less to do it, I wouldn't do it. I think you've got to set your standards. And you know, Peter, you're one of the best. So I think you can make it work. But again, I don't think you need to try harder to make it look worse. I think that it is what it is. And maybe if you can't, if that doesn't work for them, maybe it's the wrong photographer. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, you know, you definitely have me thinking now, because I was going to say something a little bit different, but what you're saying makes a lot of sense. And, you know, obviously we didn't have so much time to really think this over, but, you know, I'll tell you what I was going to say, although, you know, now that you've kind of gave me your opinion, I'm kind of leaning that way. But I was going to say is, you know, Peter said shooting, you know, he shoots ambient just to change up his workflow and make the work look a little different. And I don't want to say make the work look better or worse, but I was going to say maybe go with, you know, an infused type of workflow. So the work still looks good and it still looks professional, but it doesn't look as good. So that'll make the after images look stronger, but it's not like they're receiving, you know, images that were shot on their iPhone or images from a crappy photographer. You know, if you know how to use Infuse properly, you can make Infuse images look really, really good. And, you know, we've all seen images that were shot with Infuse. I've posted a lot of them very often on my Instagram. There are guys out there that post all the time on the Facebook groups that only use Infuse. You know, we've had Gary Castle on our program who has his run and gun workflow for his lower end stuff. He uses Infuse and some of his work is really, really phenomenal. So, you know, you can do some really, really nice stuff with that. And it's instead of 100%, it's maybe 85 or 90. So it still looks really professional and really look good, but it's not, you know, all the way there. So when you do deliver those final flash images, you know, they look even better. And that being said, I mean, as far as workflow, you know, an Infuse workflow is not, I mean, it's a little quicker, but not much different than when you're doing Flambient. So, when Lightroom is infusing your images, a lot of that's automated and you can kind of step away from the computer for a little bit and come back. But, you know, you still have to go in, you still have to put your finish, you have to do all the work beforehand. I don't know, most people, or they should do their adjustments beforehand, whether it's white balance, stacking the images, all that stuff. And then after, you got to go in, put all your finishing touches on them. You know, anybody that's used Infuse knows that the images come out really flat and ugly looking. So you have to go in, you have to put your finishing touches on there. You have to straighten your vertical. So there's still a lot of work involved. So the workflow or amount of work you have to do after isn't much different. So, you know, to Peter, to answer your question, I probably wouldn't charge any different. Probably wouldn't charge any different, but if you wanted to change it up and make your after images look even stronger, I would probably, or what I was going to say to do was probably deliver an Infuse type of workflow. So everything still looks really good and professional, but not as good. You look like you were about to say something, Rich.
Well, I was gonna sneeze. Oh, I'm always disagreeing with you. I may not say it, but I'm always. Oh, God. I think the bottom line is for me, I wouldn't want like worse pictures. I want the renovation to speak for itself. And you got a good point. I mean, Infuse GUI, man, that is the fastest thing on earth. And you could go in there and shoot that. So yeah, I'm sure you could do it a lot quicker. But I just want to say I had a brainstorm going on, and small one, but you know, I think that might not be a bad idea for people out there in podcast land to come up with another offering. If you have an agent or a builder, somebody that does flips or renovations, suggest to them that you will come in before and do a before and an after. And that way you're going to get an extra shoot out of it. And maybe you charge less, you charge the same amount of money, but you structure it differently. Because I'm a big fan of just make your client think they're getting a better deal by rewording it. But you may just want to do that. And, you know, that's not a bad idea. You know, somebody's going to do a flip, get in touch with them, say, hey, I'll come in and shoot it, and let me shoot it after, and I'll give it to you for this price. And, yeah, maybe that is the answer, to go in there and shoot it and infuse. And if you could get in and out really quick, charge less for that, and you're all winning. So maybe that's
If you can shoot the same angles too, you can get one of those cool little WordPress plugin sliders where you can slide the before and afters.
Yeah, you don't think you could do it close enough though?
Well, that's going to be pretty close.
Okay.
But yeah. No, you have to be kind of dead on, but yeah.
You did that for the webinar, and I love that.
I actually want to
find out how to do that, because I love the slide it. I think it's great. I'm not a big fan of, like, there was a guy, used to drive me crazy in the groups and in PFRE, and I haven't heard from him in a long, long time, but it was funny. Scott DeBose and me used to just shake our head because he was in our area, but I'm not mentioning any names, but he made a big deal on his website to go, do you want your pictures to look like this or look like this? And, like, to me, that is the worst. How in the world can you be trying to sell your stuff by putting somebody else down or making somebody else's work?
So that's what he was doing.
He would take really crappy pictures and then he'd take really good pictures. And I'm like, are you kidding me? That is so inherently wrong, in my opinion.
Well, I feel like if you're going to do that and, like, take the crappy ones yourself on your iPhone or something, because how many realtors are taking pictures with your iPhone, and say, you know, do you want your pictures to look like this? And then write a caption underneath, taken with phone, like most realtors, like most realtors. Or, you know, take it like this with professional. But yeah, if they're using someone else's quote unquote crappy images,
it's a slippery slope. Even if your own, if you're making it look like somebody else's pictures, I don't know, it's like deceiving to me. But you know, whatever.
Well, look, you know what comes around goes around. And if you're you're doing stuff that's not ethical or a little shady, if you want to call it, it's gonna come back one day and just bite you in the ass.
I'm doing editing a design shoot right now, and not as we speak, but this
in
a few minutes.
I saw that picture you posted earlier. It was really nice.
It's going right back and getting re-edited, man. Oh my God. Someone pointed out that I took out almost the global colors and everything. It's all screwed up. It's great to post sometimes in a group before you deliver, because you can get a third. It took me longer to do this one image than it took me to do a whole house. Let's just say that. And I get in the hole, you know, the time suck hole, where it just takes you forever and ever, and you got glass and reflections and colors, color cast. But I just think that it's really, really important to, you know, just try and do your best work. But, you know, I can't really speak for what Peter's going through. So you just do what ethically is. But if you ever get in a hole, like you're doing something, like even cloning out a light socket because it's a design shoot, I'll sit there for like 2-3 minutes, go, oh, should I do that? And I'm going, oh, I got this person in my head and this person in my head, and it's a terrible thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a tough call. I usually do it only if it's significantly distracting. If I go to the image and that's kind of where my eye is drawn, I take it out.
But you wouldn't do that for a real estate shoot.
No, I wouldn't bother.
Yeah. I'm just saying, ethics are really, really important, depending on what you're doing. So, you know, I don't encourage anybody to do something that's unethical.
Correct. Yeah, well, in real estate, it's different. You know, people are getting what they see, and people are expecting to get what they see. You know, when you're doing a design shoot, you know, you're point is to focus on, you know, what the designer did, whether in the bathroom it's tile work or you know, vanities or countertops and stuff like
totally
that
different.
And not where the electrician had to put the socket because that's where the beams were. So, you know, it's a whole different game, and I don't mind taking that stuff out on a design shoot.
Did you hear, now I'm not a big one on following MLS rules or whatever, did you hear that there's scuttlebutt about them changing a lot of things? And each MLS is different, but I heard talk about that they are going to not allow sky replacements. And I mean, all these crazy things, which I don't know how they would figure it out.
Well, yeah, I haven't heard that yet. I mean, I've heard the talk about it in the groups, but I haven't heard that yet from my MLS. Like you said, if you're good at it, then first of all, they're not going to know. I don't see how they're going to know that it was a sky replacement. Secondly, ethically, I mean, I guess I agree with not touching anything that's in the house, but the sky is the sky. You know, it's going to look different today and tomorrow and the day after, and literally every day for the rest of our lives, the sky is going to look different. So, yeah.
Now, when you do sky replacements, do you always 100% take into consideration the actual direction that the sunset will be? I fudge it a little bit.
On twilights, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sky replacements, yeah.
Well, I do sky replacements on regular exteriors also.
No, but I mean in a twilight situation. In
twilights, I try to do the best I can. Yeah. And if I can't, what I try to do is change the direction of the light coming on the house using, like curved layers and masking and stuff like that. So if the only good sky that really looks good on the house is kind of the wrong direction, first of all, what I always like to do, I guess we're getting into a little bit about twilights now.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. But what I usually do is, first thing I do is I sample colors from the sky that I'm replacing and put color overlays of that color onto the house also.
Right.
So the house is reflecting the color of the sky and it looks a little more natural. So if my sky that I'm using is very purple and the original shot has no purple on the house, then I will sample that purple color from the sky, make a new layer with color blend mode, and then just selectively mask at like 5% opacity, just a little purple on there just to kind of get that reflection and make it a little more natural. And then in the same sense, I'll try to use, curves, adjustment layers, masking too, to kind of change the direction of the light a little bit to kind of fit the sky enough where it blends naturally with the way I shot it. And, doesn't look like I faked the light. So yeah. A little bit of work, but nothing compared to what our friend Matthew does.
I look forward to interjecting your experience too during our webinar. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Like I said, I don't do it often. I think last summer, I don't do anything during the winter in New York, but I think last summer I did 5 twilights. Maybe that's it. I actually posted them all like 2 weeks ago. I was like, here's everything I shot from a twilight last summer. And the truth of the matter is I don't push it. When I get calls for it, I don't turn it down, but I don't really try to push it because it's just really hard for me after a day of shooting to get back up at 7 o'clock when I just ate dinner with the family and all that and just go out and do another shoot.
Welcome to my life. Yeah.
So, I mean, your kids are older and out of the house now, but I'm in a different boat. So,
I was shooting them when mine were little. Yeah, no, it's tough. And, I don't want to get into too much twilight stuff, but yeah, it is something that takes you away from your family and your life, and you should get compensated for it. So anyway, that's good stuff.
All right. Well, Peter, we got off on a tangent like we always seem to do on these Ask the Guys, but it's all good. So thank you for your question. Sorry we couldn't be of a little more help to you, but you asked a question that Rich has done once and I have never done. But hopefully we were able to shed our opinions on the situation and definitely follow up with us and let us know how it panned out.
Yeah, and I'm going to definitely try and find those before and after shots. And if we could maybe post just two shots, that'd be great.
Otherwise,
you got to see this house.
I want to say, I forgot the guy's name, and I probably should have looked this up before, but I remember we had an Ask the Guys maybe 2 months ago, about a guy who did a job for somebody that was 90 days late on paying, and he was struggling to get paid, and what should we do? So I apologize that I forgot your name, but he did send us a follow-up message that he got paid about a week after we released that episode. So it did work out for him. And if you've listened to our episodes, you do know what I'm talking about, hopefully. And if you didn't, go back and listen to some of the previous Ask the Guys, but he did get paid from that client. So yeah. Happy ending. What we'd like to hear.
Yes. Happy endings. great. So Brian, what's going on? We're running out of time and we're running low on time.
Yeah. So that's it. We're running low on time, but we want to thank everybody for listening. And as usual, just subscribe to our stuff, our emails. Our emails are great because not only do you get podcast release episodes, article releases, but as we start doing more of these webinars, we're going to start emailing them out to you. We want our listeners and people that are on our emailing list to definitely get a firsthand peek to registration so you don't miss out on this stuff. So if you're not on our email list, go ahead. You can sign up on our website and get in on there so you're first to hear about everything we do. And other than that, you know, just make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. I'm assuming if you're listening to this, you already have. But if you have not hit that little subscribe button, make sure you're subscribed so you'll have a little notification on your phone when our new episodes release.
Great. And it's been going real well. We're going on a year and a half now. Man,
we're going on a year and a half.
How many podcasts we got now? 70 something?
Yeah, 65, 6. I don't even count anymore. I have to look up when I upload the podcast what number our previous one was. So I keep it in sequential order. But yeah, things are going great. It's been a year and a half and we have a lot of things going on. It's excellent.
And the feedback's so great from everybody out there, and we so appreciate the time you take out of your day to listen to us, and it's thrilling to be able to give you information, and we enjoy doing it, so it's a perfect thing. So listen, go you, Mr. B, go shoot some Twilights, and I'm going to go and finish up my editing session, and whatever you do, though, go out and shoot some spaces. This episode of Shooting Spaces has been brought to you by HDPhotoHub.com, helping your real estate photography business grow and stay on the cutting edge. Just upload your photos and your clients will get a property website, social media flyers, and videos all automatically. Register today at HDPhotoHub.com using referral code SHOOTINGSPACES and you get your first property marketing kit absolutely free. HD Photo Hub is where great photos become a powerful marketing kit. Again, that's HDPhotoHub.com.
This has been Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Subscribe to the show and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow Rich and Brian on social media and at their website, ShootingSpacesPodcast.com.